shadow as he ride on by, whatever he be.
Wow, that was rousing. Hey, it's 12:01, and up next, it's Wine Me, Dine Me.
Just ooze my gravy, we'll lose you your mind. I'm a brand new note on a table d'hote, but just try my a la carte. With a single course, you could choke a horse. Baby, you won't know where to start. I'm an hors d'oeuvre, a jelly preserve, not in the recipe book. And what's more, baby, I can call.
Yeah, well, that was in the middle of things. Hey, it is 12:02, and you're listening to WSCA LP Portsmouth 106.1 FM Portsmouth Community Radio. It is Wine Me, Dine Me Wednesday. I'm Rachel Forrest, the food writer for the Portsmouth Herald.
And I'm Allie Goodwin, galfoodie.com.
Oh, man, I'm so tickled that you're here.
Shameless self-promotion.
We have co-hosting. We're co-hosting.
I love that.
It's such a great thing. And because we are so fabulous in our own right, we have no guest because we have so much to talk about this week.
Exactly.
There's so much going on, and we made a list.
We did. We had to make a list
because we had to
stop ourselves at a certain point. Like, okay, we got to save some. We got to keep the people listening.
Yeah.
You know, next week, it's another, well, I guess the week after is another.
The week after, there'll be more.
There'll be more fun stuff. Food gossip.
Yeah, and it's harvest season, so, which we'll get to. First of all, I wanted to mention that, I don't know if any of you out there have seen it, but pick up the October issue of Gourmet Magazine.
Great article.
Now, normally, I'm not big on media on media. I don't like to write articles about articles.
Right.
But this is special because I think Gourmet Magazine is, of course, the premier food magazine in the country, perhaps the world.
I would say their readership's large.
Very large. And so there's this great article about Portsmouth, and of course, because it's Gourmet, it's a travel piece, but it mentions a lot of the Portsmouth restaurants. And how this came about, there's a backstory. Ruth Reichel last year was in town promoting her new memoir. I don't know how you get to have a life where you get to write three memoirs, but I hope to have that someday.
Start writing.
I think I could do two at this point.
Yeah, I've lived four lifetimes and I'm, 37. So I don't have time to write memoirs. I'm still living.
Yeah, you're still living, yeah. So so she came in, she was at the music hall, and she toured around Portsmouth and loved it, of course. Why not? Fell in love with Portsmouth.
Lovely.
Fell in love with Portsmouth all over again. And a while after that, I got an email from the editor-at-large, Barry Estabrook, and he intelligently asked the food writer, we never met, where he should go.
Genius.
And Ruth Reichel had been at Green Monkey, so he had to go there, because Ruth Reichel said. And I gave him a whole list of some of the restaurants in town and why they were interesting and why they sort of represented Portsmouth and what, the reasons to go there. So he wound up going to a bunch of restaurants, included in the article is Black Trumpet Bistro.
One of our faves.
Wonderful. They just came out with their new fall menu, and it looks great. Also, the Wentworth, which has a great brunch. I went to a brunch there a couple.
Don't even get me started on the Wentworth brunch.
Unlimited champagne.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, if you like salmon and lox.
Yeah.
It's all you can eat.
Yeah, it's all you can eat. Also mentioned Green Monkey, of course, because Ruth Reichel said. Jumpin' Jay's Fish Cafe, which is, a place that everyone loves to go to. I mean, it's nice
fun.
Fresh fish.
Yep. It's fun and it's fresh.
And the Size Inn, where apparently he stayed. And there's a beautiful picture of Strawberry Bank. And he also mentioned Cava Tapas and Wine Bar. And that's where I had dinner with him.
Oh.
Because he emailed me about 2 days before he came into town. I dropped everything, because Ruth Reichel said. And I had dinner with him, and we had a great time.
And it's a great place, too. It's a great atmosphere for that kind of one-on-one. You and I had dinner there not too long ago, and it was fabulous.
Yeah, you sit there, you talk to the chef.
Yeah, totally.
They're having their first anniversary on November 19th, and I know they're having a gathering. So make friends with them on Facebook, and you can see about the gathering. I think, there's a charge for it, and they'll have that wine tasting and food tasting.
Yeah, fabulous.
So pick up this article. I think it's a great thing for Portsmouth and a great thing for our restaurants. We long have been recognized as a great foodie town, and we've been slowly getting our due.
Yeah, And you know, there's still a lot going on in Portsmouth. I mean, a lot still to come.
Yeah.
I can see it.
Yeah, there's other things going to come up.
Other things coming, isn't there, Rachel?
Sadly, Chiang Mai is closing, though.
Oh,
I don't know if you saw the paper today.
I didn't see the paper today yet, except for your article.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, they're going to close in mid-November. They've been here for 16 years, which is like 100 years in restaurant life.
Wow. Well, you know, maybe they're a little tired.
Yeah, I think they want to do more things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
which is always good.
Understandable.
And there are a bunch of festivals coming up.
Right, which we're almost intimately involved with.
Yeah. Somehow we're involved with all these festivals.
Involved in all of them.
I believe at Brewfest this Saturday, which is a Prescott Park fundraiser.
Right.
To be held at Red Hook Brewery.
Right.
It's 30 breweries, 91 beers.
That's just to sample. Great. That's great.
Just to sample.
Right.
Because you need to drink responsibly.
Will they have taxis?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, they should.
Call Blue Star Taxi.
Yes.
In two sessions, noon to 3 and 5 to 8.
Correct.
My plan is to go to the noon to 3, nap, and then continue with my evening.
Right, and I'm your wing girl. So I, too, will be going noon to 3, nap, and then maybe the decks. For the, what should we mention?
Well, yeah.
We should bring this up.
Yeah, the Poker's Deck will be demolished on Monday, October 5th. And so that means that this weekend is the last weekend to enjoy the Poker's Deck before the, it will be rebuilt in a new form.
Right.
I'm using my hands to show how, but you can't see that. I'm pushing it back, which means it'll be pushed back toward the building. But I think it's going to be a really interesting time down there this weekend.
It could be fun, and hopefully the weather will hold. And even though it's fall, it's still a great time to get out. And Portsmouth at night, I've been coming downtown later in the evening for my yoga classes, and it's been a happening place.
Yeah,
still, which is great. It's great to see everybody out and about. And
yeah, well, yeah, I think we locals like it in the fall and winter because it's less crowded, easier parking.
Right.
We love the tourists though.
Love them.
So this is going to be a fabulous brew fest, and so you get a little glass to sample. So go to PrescottPark.org to purchase your tickets, and there'll be food there, I think, which is separate. But
and the tickets are $25 before the event and $35 at the event.
Yeah, so you save $10, which you could, which can be used on, you know,
other things.
Save it for food or your evening at Poco's.
At Poco's.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's going to be fun. And it's also a fundraiser for Prescott Park.
Right.
And we love Prescott Park.
Right. It's a great event regardless of whether you like beer or not. It supports the park.
Indeed.
And more food festivals at the park.
And there's another food festival the following Saturday.
That's right. The Chili Fest. Yeah. The WHEB Chili Fest. And Rachel and I will be there.
And we'll be judging.
Our favorite thing.
Yeah.
And Rachel, we've discussed this, that there should not be any oysters involved. However, I guess it's up to the restaurant's interpretation of what makes a good chili and maybe just, you know, no oysters. I'm just going to put it out there.
Yeah. I mean, like, what's the definition of chili? Why couldn't you have an oyster chili?
Well, you could. I guess I never thought barbecue would involve oysters, and I wouldn't think chili would involve oysters, but hey, I've been wrong before.
The Chili Fest is this great bookend to the season that begins for me with Chowderfest. And I really like the Chili Fest. Usually there's a little crispness in the air, and you get this really spicy food. And there's like lots of nice garnishes, cheese. And
I love
sour
chili.
Yeah.
I love to make it. I love to eat it.
How do you make your chili?
Well, if I tell you, then it's not my secret chili recipe, actually.
Well, leave out the most crucial ingredient.
Well, I like to make my chili a couple of ways. I make a good veggie chili, which is mostly, it's actually a lot of vegetables. Like I throw carrots in there and corn and a lot of beans. I use a ton of chili powder. throw in some Worcestershire sauce.
Worcestershire.
Yep. Garlic, onions. And then when I make like my real meaty chili, I will keep out my secret ingredient because I actually buy it at the grocery store, and it's a chili mix.
Okay.
But it's, it's more of a high end. It's just, I use that along with all the other ingredients that I just mentioned. I like it with ground beef. Sometimes I like it with pulled pork too.
Oh yeah.
I love pulled pork chili and I love to throw corn in. And I think the more favorite part of chili for me is the cornbread and the sour cream and the chips and the cheese and the, you know, like all the stuff you put on it.
Yeah. Usually you get some of that at the Chili Fest. Yeah. And, there'll be some, sometimes you get a white chili.
Oh,
yeah. Yum. With chicken.
With chicken.
Yeah.
And I should throw out, because I know my mom's listening today, that my mom, hi mom, my mom really does make the best chili ever. And I wish she could enter because she would probably win. In fact, she just was in the chili cook-off at Elliott Festival Day on Friday night with my sister, and they won second place.
Really?
In the Chili Fest. So.
And her recipe is the one that you use?
Similar, yeah.
Yeah, I pretty much use my mom. Recipe. She's not listening. She's in Paris.
Oh, hi,
for
mom
her 70th birthday.
Oh, sweet.
They said they're taking me to Barcelona for my birthday next year.
Hold them to it.
Yeah. Because it's a big decade one. I'm not going to tell which one. But, and yeah, hers is kidney beans and ground beef.
Right.
Lots of onions and peppers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I've tried to, my mother has told me her chili recipe hundreds of times. It never tastes as good as when she makes it.
Because she makes it with a mother's love.
With love. Yeah. With some mommy love.
That's what Avalon, my daughter, says to me. She's 16 and a half. She's taking cooking classes. This kid knows how to cook. She can cook.
As well she should.
So, but she'll ask me to make the simplest things. You know,
was it the other night, like Italian bread pizza or something?
Yeah, she said, no, lately, her latest thing is to send me these texts about what she wants for dinner that night. Like this morning it was, can I have spaghetti and meatballs?
Wow, she's like ordering from, you know, the mom restaurant.
Yeah, yesterday it was, can I have buffalo wings?
Yeah, you can, and all the stuff's in the freezer.
And if you want to drive and get some, you yourself can drive.
Right, right.
But she'll ask me like to make her a grilled cheese with tomato or something.
Because it tastes better when
she
you
said,
make it.
But mommy, you make it with your love. You know, thanks,
see,
kid.
See.
Pulling at my heartstrings.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll do it.
Yeah. I'm like,
Yeah, yeah. So the Chili Fest, which we'll be at.
So that starts at 11:30. Now, new this year for the Chili Fest is that it will be instead of Prescott Park, it is a benefit for Prescott Park. Music and arts festival, but it will be in Strawberry Bank. Why? More beer.
Right.
Because you can't have beer at Prescott Park. However, you can have it at Strawberry Bank. There's also a harvest festival going on that day. So, you can, you know, go back and forth and it's Red Hook beer will be there.
Yeah. It's good for the whole family. And it will be a beautiful day.
Yeah.
It is my parents' wedding anniversary that day as well.
How many years?
Oh, she's listening and I don't even know. 37.
More than 37.
40.
Let's just say it's more than 37.
It's more than 37, yeah.
Hey, you're listening to Why Me Dime Me, and this is WSCA LP Portsmouth 106.1 FM, Portsmouth Community Radio. You're here with Rachel Forrest and?
Allie Goodwin.
Yeah, the dynamic foodie duo now.
Sweet.
This is great. I feel like I found my long lost twin.
And we get lots done.
Brewfest, Chili Fest. There's another festival that you're very closely involved with.
Yes, actually, this is a huge festival, Harvest Fest, coming up October 16th, 17th, and 18th in York Village and down at Short Sands in York Beach. And it's huge. I think like 50,000, 100,000 people come to this thing. It's got food, it's got crafts, it's got events. It's a real community-based festival. And this is the 25th anniversary.
I was going to ask how many years. 25.
25 this year. And there are some real deep traditions that go on with this festival. One of them being one of my favorites, which is the ox roast and the beanhole beans. Which
oh, yeah.
Really,
the ox roast.
Yeah,
yeah,
they really do. And Mark Foster from the Stage Neck Inn has done that for 18 years now, I think. And this is the year that he actually hands it off to his son, Peter. So it's kind of a big deal for those of us who are in the circle of having put this on. It's kind of the passing of the torch of this big event.
Legacy.
And those beanhole beans, I am telling you, if you like...
Could you explain to people what they are for those of us who are not from New England?
Sure, sure. Well, I learned one of the secrets, actually, of these particular beanhole beans and what makes them so good. They're actually Jacob's cattle beans, which are not the traditional Navy, you know, Navy big bean beans.
What color are they?
They're white.
White beans.
Yep, they're white beans, and they turn out brown. Yes, they are brown when they're done. But basically, the beans get a big pit gets dug in the middle of the church lawn, and the fire gets started. The coals get hot. The beans go in. They get buried, and I think they cook for a couple of days, and they are tended by the fosters and a whole crew of people. It's, you know, it's a constant tending of the beans. And
what do you do for a living? I'm a bean tender.
Oh, and I own the Stage Neckin.
Yeah. Side from that.
Side note. But you know, it's this whole, like, it's a whole process, that takes a couple of days, and then they dig them up and then they serve them up. And, I'm actually going to be, involved with the York's Chamber of Commerce food booth, tent, if you will, where I will be cooking all weekend, and we will be serving the ox sandwiches starting at about 10:30, 11 on Saturday morning. And you can buy the beans there, and we'll be making hot dogs and sweet potato fries.
Oh, sweet potato fries.
But what's really cool, you know, to just touch on the food side of the Harvest Fest, one of the things that they do is they do not allow any vendors to duplicate any food.
Oh.
So they've got all these food people there, but they're really challenged to come up with something unique. So like the Dockside is doing lobster mac and cheese.
Oh.
The Meat House will be doing their steak tips. You know, there will be, I can just name off a few. The Cape Nettic Baptist Church will be doing their apple crisp, which is to die for.
You know, church apple crisp?
Oars Island Chowder Company has Oars Island Chowder. I mean, the food there is, it's probably one of the more dynamic, events in terms of, like, you know, festivals for food because of its variety of foods and the people that put it on. And so, they work hard.
So how's the whole ox thing work? Is that...
It's on a spit.
It's on a spit,
yeah,
and that's going to be available
right there,
all weekend.
Registry. It's there. It's available till it's gone. So it's usually,
again, we're using the hand motions
again,
that you can't see. We're turning the spit.
Yes, we're spitting. Yes, it's there until it's gone. So, you know, and it's popular. So probably Saturday will be the day to get your
so
ox
say
sandwich.
The dates again.
So it's the October 16th, 17th, and 18th.
So that's
of October.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
And there will be two locations, just so everyone knows. There's the Downtown Village location on Saturday, and there is the Short Sands Ballpark at Short Sands Beach in York. On Sunday, and there's food in both places, although the Village on Saturday has the most food and crafters. There are a number of the same thing over at the beach, and there's a trolley system that takes you. The trolleys do free trolleys the whole weekend from the Village to the beach, Village to the beach. So you don't, because you can't really drive through the Village. There's
no.
So many people.
Yeah.
And it's very well organized. The Chamber of Commerce and everybody involved does an incredible job at putting this event on. And they work on it all year long to get it ready. And it's sort of like brings in the fall for me and my family. Everybody in my family is involved in this in one way or another. My brother and his friend Chris will be running the sweet potatoes. They are hilarious. Even if you don't like sweet potato fries,
just
come
watch
to
them.
Watch them. They are like their own comic team, and they go all day, and it's just fun. It's just fun.
This is the York Harvest Fest, and so what other things go on other than, I mean, obviously for us, it's all about the food, but
right.
I'm sure there's
I'm
other
sorry,
fun
I'm
stuff.
Eating all day. I don't know. there's crafters, there's demonstrations, there's a powwow on Saturday at the beach, there's a car show down in the parking lot on Sunday morning that actually is, you know, aside from the food, one thing you may not know about me is that I own a 1960 Ford Falcon that I've had for years and years that my dad and I have taken to car shows, and it's been in parades and from childhood on up, you know, I've been dragged around car shows and junkyards and stuff with my dad. So this is kind of fun that, you know, we go and walk around and see all the cars, and then it's really, really neat when the car show's over. They parade them all the way around the beach, and it's just one car after another after another after another, and it's really neat. So there's a lot going on. There's something for everyone. I mean, there's something. It's a huge event, and I encourage everybody to go this year, especially because the weather's going to be fabulous.
It is going to be fabulous. That reminds me, I mean, if people want to take a break from the York Harvest Festival, for those of you who missed the showing of Food Inc. at the Music Hall, You obviously can't go because you're going to be dishing out food. But they're going to do another showing through the New Hampshire Film Festival on Sunday, October 18th at 4 p.m. And Gary Hirschberg, who is in the film, he's the CEO of Stonyfield Yogurt, Stonyfield Farms. He's going to be on stage afterwards to talk and answer questions, and I'll be moderating that. So,
oh, cool.
If you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be?
And I should also...
If you were a yogurt culture...
Yeah, and you did that last week because that was the night I was celebrating Guinness's 250th birthday.
Oh, is that what you call it? Sitting at Rerod? Drinking? No, press room?
Yes, I was celebrating.
Drinking?
Yes. Arthur Guinness.
Oh, yeah, then I came back afterwards. Yes. That was fun.
That was actually really fun. And the musician couldn't have been less of an Irish pub singer.
I know, Dan Blakesley was playing.
It was great. He's like, I only know one drinking song. I said, you better play it over and over again or they'll beat you up.
But while there... We're going to go off on a tangent.
Oh, total tangent. It was a foodie night.
I was talking to Mickey from Jagbark.
Right.
We're like Mickey. Totally mixing music and food, but of course.
It's okay.
And he was telling me all these great stories about Emilio's, which is that little Italian place that is on Daniel Street, which is now really closed.
Right.
And then Duncan Boyd, who was there, was telling me stories about Emilio's. And I always wanted to go in there. Mm-hmm. And I've lived here for 8 years, and I've never been able to catch it.
Because they're always closed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because these are random hours. But all you hear about is how great Emilio's is. So yeah. Emilio's, this is our shout-out.
Yeah, if anybody has any stories about Emilio's, please email me at rachelforrest1@gmail.com because I'd like to hear them. I'm sort of compiling a little.
And I was having a real business powwow with Jonathan Blakesley, who owns White Heron Teas, and we were strategizing and talking farmers markets and tea. And if you haven't had White Heron Tea, it's whiteherontea.com. It's probably some of the best loose leaf tea I've ever had. I buy it in 5-pound bulk bags. I love it that much.
What kind of tea do you usually get? I like green tea.
I get the decaf Earl Grey.
Oh, okay.
And his chai is very good. And most of the time, it's the decaf Earl Grey because it's got bergamot in it, and the smell.
I love that.
Just the smell of it, you know, steeping in my little French press is worth it. It's worth the money.
I'm gonna make some announcements. Oh, where are my old lady glasses? Oh, they're in my hand. That's how old I am. Where are my glasses? Programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is brought to you by our members and by Women's Intimate Solutions, providing organic herbals and personal products that ease the effects of hormonal changes, cancer, or childbirth, and help women feel better. For more information, call 603-740-4372 or online at www.womensintimatesolutions.com. Support for programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by our members and by Heron Pond Farm, building community through local agriculture, from our fields to your table. More information on CSA memberships at heronpondfarm.com or 603-591-8720. And programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by our members and by Terracotta Pasta, makers of fresh gourmet pasta, ravioli, and sauces, located just south of the Kittery Traffic Circle at 52A Route 1, Kittery, Maine. More information at 207-475-3025. That's great. And also, I just wanted from the community calendar announce that as of Sunday, September 13th, the library has been open... Because it's past the 13th on Sunday afternoons from 1 to 5 until next summer. So that's great. That'll get you through the long, cold winter with a nice book.
I got my library card yesterday from the Rice Public Library.
Oh, that's so cool.
I felt so proud. And I did want to go back to Harvest Fest for one moment.
Oh,
just a moment to say to people that there is so much going on those 3 days. We couldn't possibly take the whole time to talk about it. But if you go to gatewaytomaine.org and click on the Harvest Fest logo, you can download the entire schedule of events. It's so big. It's 17 pages, and there's so many great stories.
Wow.
And they wrote a lot about the history this year because of the 25th anniversary. So you should make a stop at gatewaytomaine.org.
Will they have recommendations on where to park?
Oh, they have everything. They have all the trolley scheduling and the whole bit. So,
yeah. Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Festivals.
I know. Freiburg Fair Sunday too. Woohoo!
Freiburg Fair.
Pig scramble and
what is a pig scramble?
basically,
apparently, I was not grown, did not grow up in the country as much as you did.
Where have you been?
Yeah, New Jersey.
Pig scramble is basically they throw a bunch of pigs in a pen and the kids have to try to catch them.
Do they grease the pigs?
They kind of do, yeah.
Oh my God.
So I'm taking my nephew to the pig scramble because he's 4 and I think he would think that was pretty darn funny.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's Auntie Day. Sunday is Auntie Day and we're going to the pig scramble.
Oh, he's going to have fond memories when he's on the psychiatrist's couch.
Oh,
huh?
Between the festival and the pig scramble.
And Auntie used to take me and threw me into a pit with pigs. And then she made up some cockamamie story about fairies
about
being in
fairies
trees. And I believed her, Doctor. I believed her.
And since I was 4, I've been looking for fairies. He loved that. He loved the Fairy House tour. That was another great event. Another great, great thing in Portsmouth.
I remember when my daughter Avalon's, teen daughter Avalon's dad and I first had Avalon, we had this big discussion about whether or not we were going to tell her there's a Santa Claus, because we were like, no, I think we should not tell her about Santa Claus. It's the first lie you tell your child, you know? And we were like all against it. And then, of course, when Christmas came around, we're like, oh, Santa brought it.
That worked out well.
Yeah.
Poor Avalon.
And we continued to lie to her the entire time. And we will continue.
And you will continue. For at least, let's see, 16, at least 3 more years.
Oh, Mommy never did that, honey.
No.
You shouldn't either.
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you took a trip to Maryland this weekend.
I did.
Home of the crab.
Home of the Maryland blue crab. And let me tell you, it was kind of impromptu. I got a phone call from some friends down there on Thursday, bought a plane ticket Thursday afternoon, and was on a plane on Friday. And I know they're listening, so I'm going to say that I was really excited to get to see you, but more excited that I got to eat some crab.
I know, because I always thought, oh, it would be great to have one of those places where you can just, like, mallet the crab on the paper.
Yeah, and, you know, we didn't get a chance to do that. I wasn't there. I was there Saturday, and I left Sunday. But where I was, it's a wonderful place called Chance, Maryland. It's down on the eastern shore. There is nothing there. It's if you want to Google it, Google Deal Island, which is where I was.
Is this the eastern shore of the Chesapeake?
It is the eastern shore of the Chesapeake. Yes. Yes, it is. And it is where the delicacy that is Maryland blue crab is from. And you know what lobster is to Maine, blue crab is to Maryland, and they're very proud of it. And they're not called crabbers, they're called watermen. And it's, I think that is such a romantic term for the dirty crab boats, which actually, if you've never seen a crab boat, they're not a shrimp boat, they're not a lobster boat. They are the sexiest fishing boats I've ever seen, and I want one.
Yeah, what's your definition of sexy fishing boat?
It's got like the lobster boat kind of front, and then it's this very long swooped back that allows for these odd shaped pots to be stacked up.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask why.
Yeah, they need the deck. Uh-huh. They need the deck for it. So, lucky for me, I stayed with some friends of mine who also have a connection to this Seacoast area. They own the building that Annika Jans is in and the Paradise Gallery in Kittery. And they also have this lovely little cottage home on a canal on the eastern shore on Deal Island. And along the same canal, literally 30 feet from the window I was sleeping next to, was a crab processing shack. So I listened to the water pouring out of the crab bins all night and back into the canal. And it was literally, you know, a yell across the canal, you know, hey, got any crab meat? So, you know, these folks also own, Lucky's Last Chance General Store and Bar, which is sort of an add-on, and that's a whole story in itself. You can go to galfoodie.com later this afternoon and read the entire story. But we called Lucky's Last Chance General Store, which they own, and spoke to the manager and said, can you get us? You know, I made the grocery list, and they called it in, and we went and picked it up, and my grocery list was to make Maryland crab cakes for lunch on Sunday, and the meat was picked, you know, that morning. I cooked it at noon. We ate it at 1, and it was just it's so fresh, so incredibly fresh.
So you picked the meat out cooking?
They cook them.
They cook them. And then the
crab has to be cooked always, or else it's just liquid.
Yeah, then you can't get it out.
Yeah, it's liquid. And it was already picked crab meat. It was lump and body, so it was all really, you know, good solid meat, a whole pound of it, which made about 8 crab cakes. There were 3 of us. I made this wonderful like roasted red pepper aioli to go on top, and my friend from chefshop.com sent me a reed avocado, which is this 2 pound
big avocado, and it was nice and ripe.
It was so perfectly ripe that I didn't dare leave it at home in Kittery, so I put it in my backpack and managed to get it through security. Raised eyebrow as they opened my bag to see what that was. I said, it's a giant avocado. And the guy said, yes, that is a giant avocado.
It's not a liquid.
And he kind of laughed and went, okay, have a nice weekend. So we ate the crab with the avocado and some wild rice. And it was just I cooked all weekend. I made peach cobbler from the peaches off their trees.
Oy.
It was a great foodie weekend in Chance, Maryland. And if anybody gets the chance to go to Chance, you should try out Lucky's Last Chance Bar, where they do serve crab cakes.
Mm.
And it was enough food for three of us to eat dinner off of one order. And
wow.
drink Dollar Bud Drafts.
I was going to ask you, what is the beer of choice down there?
Dollar Bud Drafts.
Not the ubiquitous PBR like we have up
no,
here.
No, and there was music. There was live, quote-unquote, music. It was it was a guy with a karaoke setup, and his DJ name was Let's Get It On.
Let's get it on.
And he sang karaoke for our listening pleasure when we pounded Dollar Bud Drafts and ate Maryland crab cakes.
Oh, so it wasn't audience participation karaoke?
Oh, no, this was...
Oh, man.
This was him singing, and might I add, singing, you know, 50s pop songs, like, you know... I don't know. I can't even remember Dollar Bud Drafts. I have it on video, and I will post that also to thegalfoodie.com.
You have it on video?
I got it on video because I said no one will ever believe me when I tell them this.
I got to see that.
So it was a great weekend, and the crab cake recipe that I used was based on Etta's restaurant out of Seattle, Tom Douglas's restaurant. If you just Google Tom Douglas crab cakes, you'll come up with this recipe, and I kind of botched it all together with what I had, but they were fabulous.
There's a couple places around here that I like the crab. It's that Jonah crab.
Yeah, the main crab.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And over at the library restaurant, they have an appetizer. It's just Jonah crab. It just, you know, the lump crab, but they have this really good mustard sauce with it.
Yeah.
So I like getting that. And recently, there's a new restaurant over in Salisbury called Sea Glass. Not Salisbury. Salisbury Beach. Called Sea Glass. And it's a beautiful restaurant. And I went there for like a kind of a preview event. I haven't reviewed it yet, but will. And they have a crab cake that is basically Jonah crab, lump crab meat, kind of fused together with a little bit of breading, but it's primarily crab. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
And, you know, that's a tough thing to pull off, too. If you don't have a lot of filler in it, then it's mostly crab. So you definitely have to get your recipe right in order to hold all that together so it stays in one shape in the pan.
Yeah, I was impressed with that.
That was a bit of a challenge this weekend, but I managed to pull it off and nobody seemed to complain.
Hey, you're listening to Why Me Dime Me. It's, you know, it's WSEALP Portsmouth, 106.1 FM, Portsmouth Community Radio. And I'm Rachel Forrest, the food writer for the Portsmouth Herald.
And I'm Allie Goodwin from galfoodie.com.
And so that's amazing.
Yeah, we've touched on a lot of things.
Yikes, there's so much more to talk about. Now, one thing I wanted to talk about is how expensive going out to eat is.
Yeah, it's getting to be that time of year where we want to eat a lot. Like, summer's great. Tapas, cava, glass of wine, a couple tapas, you know, you're good for the night. But now I want to eat. I want to eat.
Comfort food, more comfort food.
More comfort food, which means full price entrees.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to figure out how I can, I mean, you know, you sometimes you can go out to eat and it's, you know, it's $100 for two people.
Oh, easily.
With your cocktails.
Yeah, easily.
I could do without that. But a couple places I've been going and just ordering kind of like Jumpin' Jay's. I'll go there and I'll get a bowl of the clams and just get a lot of bread and dip in and have a Smutty Nose IPA there.
Yeah, that's actually very affordable.
And also very affordable is the Rosa.
Oh, well, that's one of my all-time winter favorite eating places because you get I get two meals. Basically for the price of one. Yeah. There is not a time that I've ever walked out of there without a to-go box.
Yeah. I had some chicken parmesan there. It was very good. I think it was only like $13.
Chicken piccata. Chicken piccata.
I'm not supposed to say prices.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Chicken piccata is what I always get there every time. Never fails.
And don't we love bartender Nick?
Yes. Yes, we do love Bartender Nick.
And oftentimes now they have Dogfish Head beer on tap.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. And Rosette also has awesome pizza.
They do.
And they do takeout, pizza takeout, if anybody, you know, knows that. But it's a great, we did that a couple of weeks ago. My whole family decided we wanted pizza, so we ordered one of all their pizzas and just had that for dinner. And
one was, of, how many pizzas was that?
There was like four or five. But, I mean, that was, the pizzas are not, I mean, I, you know, we're not supposed to say prices, but let's just say they're in the $10 to $15 range for a pizza that feeds, you know, three people.
Well, now that we're on pizza, my review tomorrow in the Portsmouth Herald, go to www.seacoastonline.com/food for my shameless plug.
Right. which we're all about today.
Which I have no shame, so is about La Festa Brick and Brew in Dover. Have you been there?
No, we've been talking about culinary adventures to Dover.
Yeah.
So,
and they have tons of pizza by the slice there, for one.
Yeah.
Closest to New York pizza, one of the closest to New York slice, a New York pizza slice that I've had on the seacoast. The other is at Roman, it's Roman something, I'm drawing a blank, but it's in the food court at the mall.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So Roman Delight or something.
Roman Delight, I think, is what it is. At the mall?
Yeah, at the Fox Run Mall.
Wow.
Closest to New York slice. You know, you fold it, cheesy, greasy.
Drippy, yeah.
Yeah, greasy, drippy.
Yeah, good.
You know the drill.
Yeah, I know the drill.
But they also have these wood-fired oven pizzas, and they're delicious. They put a lot of nice fresh herbs on them, and very odd combinations. Like, I had a jambalaya that had hot sausage and shrimp and hot peppers. And,
well, since we're talking about pizza, too, and wood-fired ovens, we should...
It's not on our list to talk about pizza.
However, and it is on our list to talk about budget eating.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can... The great thing about Portsmouth is that there are some really, really amazing high-end restaurants where, you know, most people would not probably think of as their first choice for a quick dinner out. But the restaurant for... their pizza oven and their pizzas, totally approachable, totally affordable, and you can sit at the bar and order a pizza out of their wood, and it changes every, they have one that stays on the menu, and then the other one changes out every night, and it's, you could totally do that in a glass of wine and be out of there for $20.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that wood-fired oven makes an awesome steak if it's payday.
Yeah, they make everything in that wood-fired oven. So,
and those ribs.
If you're lucky, your pizza does taste like the steak that was just
Hey, my pizza tastes like steak.
Yummy. But that's a good thing to remind everyone that you don't necessarily have to eat at the Fox Run Mall, you know, to be able to afford to eat out in Portsmouth. That a lot of these restaurants.
What?
Huh? And I don't necessarily know that the Fox Run Mall is the cheaper of the two, really. You know, they do definitely have a target audience they're shooting for. But, and Rachel, we're going to talk about this after. What are you doing eating at the Fox Run Mall?
Getting that pizza. Yeah.
Well, you know.
Sometimes the kid likes to get a Fox Run Mall.
Oh, right. I forget you have
a teen. To buy nose piercing supplies or something.
Right. Claire's.
Oy.
I don't know if that's there anymore. But yeah, there are a lot of great places in Portsmouth. I like Coco Locos.
Loco Cocos.
Sorry. It's all local.
Yeah.
Close to my house. Bonus number one.
Very close to your house.
Very close to my house. And also big food, not big dollars.
Right.
So, and I like that I can get it either in a wrap or in a salad version, you know, of my carne asada, whatever.
Carne asada,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And good margaritas, too.
Yeah, they do a chile relleno there sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's excellent.
Yeah, I've had that, too. So, yeah, there's lots of places.
Hey, speaking of that, Mexican food, I stopped in to Agave.
Yes.
And they have this taco night where you can get, there's this whole menu of tacos for, like, you know, very cheap tacos. And all of their great, you know, with the carne asada.
Right.
And
they have great sauces to go with. I've had the fish tacos there.
Yeah.
Great sauces to go with it.
So that's an expensive thing to do, except the margaritas kind of.
Do you remember what night that is?
I think it's Monday and Tuesday.
Monday and Tuesday nights, Agave,
taco night. Check it out. Yeah.
I'm checking it out.
That was good.
Yeah, I've had a lot of different things at Agave, but I would say that the fish taco is probably my favorite.
I like their mole sauce.
And it is the mole sauce that you can ask for. It doesn't come with the fish taco, I don't think, but that's... I had a waitress that was awesome, and she kept bringing out these sauces that didn't necessarily go with it.
Yeah.
But she's like, you know, people really like it like this with that.
Oh, I would put mole sauce on anything.
Yeah, yeah, I think I would too.
Yeah, verde sauce. I've never made a mole sauce. Have you?
No, I haven't. But it's a long to do it the right way is a really, really long process, and I think that's probably why I haven't. But you know, I made mozzarella cheese. Why not make mole?
I know. Well, sometimes mole has, you know, up to like 20 ingredients or more.
Right. Right.
Crazy.
And you need to, you know, be somewhere near the border, I think, to get most of them.
I know, to get most of them, yeah.
Get them the right, get the right stuff.
Folks can read about this in my Why Me Dynamite column next Wednesday, but I had the great good fortune to spend a day with the Biodiversity Committee for the Arc of Taste, which
that was really cool.
Portion of, part of Slow Food. And every year they get together once a year to vote in nominated foods into the Arc. They board the Arc, they call it. And it's funny because when they vote and they vote one in, they say all in favor say Arc.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's really funny. This is to preserve these foods that are endangered. You know, these could be vegetables, fruits, a sheep, a kind of fish, or it could be the way one makes something. Like there was I believe it was a Hopi Indian cornmeal dish.
Oh.
Yeah. But one of the things we tasted were New Mexican chilies.
Oh.
We tasted like five of them.
So these aren't necessarily regional items of food, but
the place-based factor is really important.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And mostly they're very specifically regional. And with the chilies, these were all from New Mexico, they weren't nominated yet. They were just sort of like
in the running.
Take a look. Now they're going to go back and kind of do it more specifically.
That's really cool. So yeah. If people wanted to learn more about this Arc of Taste, where would they go?
They would go to www.slowfoodusa.org.
Because that's pretty cool. If you like food and you like history, I think...
Oh, the history is fantastic.
And even that's why I'm obsessed with cookbooks, because I think you can tell so much about a time, an era, a history point, just by reading cookbooks from that time.
Yeah.
And that's very cool that they're preserving the regional and the historical factor of some of these foods.
Yeah, taste was always key, but the history and the rarity and the place-based factor was...
You're
was
so cool that you got to go to that.
I know.
I'm kind of jealous.
I just ask.
All right, well, I'll just be your wing girl.
Yeah, I will not ask anymore unless you can come.
You're right. Only if Allie goes too. That's really cool.
Then that gives us more to talk about.
That's right.
So we can like finish up with the budget foods and then we're done. So, God, I mean, there's so much, it's been so much to talk about.
I know. Well, I would encourage anybody who has some ideas about where to eat out, dine out, and on a budget, you know, budget conscious places to eat, go to Facebook and find Gal Foodie, or you can go to galfoodie@gmail.com and email us.
Yeah.
We'll put it out there and we'll write about it and talk about it. Any ideas for anything you want to hear us talk about?
My big budget dining out thing now is to eat at home.
Well, yeah. Oh, my last night's eggplant parmesan before yoga incident. Yeah. It was so good. It was so good. And I ate too much and then I had to go to yoga.
And then we went to yoga.
Yeah.
Plus the wine.
Yeah.
Oh, and I found this great, I went to Philbrook's Fresh Market and I found this great Tasty Thai noodle and sauce mix.
Ooh.
Mixed it with chicken and vegetables I had already had in the refrigerator from the farmer's market, peppers, onions, some green beans. It takes, I don't know, 15 minutes from start to finish, and it was terrific. It was pad thai.
Oh, yum. And, you know, farmer's markets, we should touch on that real quick.
Yeah.
They are wrapping up soon, so...
Well, November. Yeah.
I mean, that's soon.
It's almost October.
It's October tomorrow or the next day.
Boy.
So, you know, definitely go to your farmer's market. There's a lot of incredible different kinds of squashes and potatoes. I mean, it's heavier food, but you can make some great soups. We were talking about soups earlier.
Oh, yeah.
Today
like
I'm making
squash bisque.
Today, when I get home, I'm making carrot leek. You know, so, I mean, there's some really, really great root vegetables out there right now that make a pot. You can make, you know, think about zucchini breads and there's
tarts
and
with
cheese.
And
tonight I'm making actually my after soup.
My after soup
is gonna be figs figs are still out there.
Oh, what are you going to do with the figs?
I'm going to make a couple of fig tarts, and I'm also going to make fig and blue cheese pizza. That's my dinner later tonight. Soup is lunch. Fig and blue cheese pizza on the grill is my dinner.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I'm going to yoga. Yeah.
Thank goodness you don't have too much time on your hands.
Yeah, right.
Because we get to be the beneficiaries because we get to hear about it.
That's right. That's right.
Well, there we go. It's been another Wine Me, Dine Me.
This is great.
That was really fun. And so, get us on Facebook, Gal Foodie.
Gal Foodie. You can look me up at Gal Foodie. You can go to galfoodie.com. You can look up Rachel at Seacoast Online.
Yeah, you know where to find me.
She's everywhere.
Yeah, I'm everywhere.
The Brewfest, 12 to 3.
Yeah, I'll see you at the Brewfest from 12 to 3. Yeah, be sure to come up to us and say hi.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we'll be the two redheads drinking.
Oh, is this where we plug it? We're hot and single too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm actually blushing. Well, until next week, it's been Wine Me, Dine Me.
Say that one more time. I'd like to hear that one more time. Can we say, can I see you? I'll see you in my dream. That's it.
Make me weep every evening when the sun goes down. Friends that I used to know don't even say hello. By my window they leave me weeping. Oh, why I'm so just as blue and lonesome as can be. Why should I be jolly when nobody cares for me? Just like the flowers need the sun and crave the dew when done. I need someone to tell my troubles to, but it just seems that no one That's why I've got those melancholy blues. Thank you.
play and sing a tune. All I ever needed was my life I could choose. No one told me about the bad times or of how I could lose. All I ever needed was to stand beside the bed. I didn't count on getting heavy into the good times I would choose. Got the
It's 1 o'clock, and you're listening to WSCA 106.1 FM, Portsmouth. My name is Jim Alvino. I am usually here Saturday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m. doing a hard rock show called Turn It Up.